Welcome once again to Saturday Java with Jason. I am Jason Coffee Man. This is where we meet with guests, drink coffee, and just have a great conversation.
Hi, I'm here with another great episode. This week we have Roseanne Roberts Archuleta back with us. She's been talking about coaching, recruiting, and training. She's been doing those things since 1989. Before the internet even was available, and she's a member of the San Francisco Renaissance Program, and she's on the board for the Small Business Development Center. So I'm going to turn it over to Roseanne so she can give you a really good introduction.
Thank you, Jason. I'm really excited to talk to all of you. I'm imagining the audience is filled with people either in business right now or considering doing a business. And so what I'm bringing you today is my experience, my expertise, because not only am I a small business owner since 1989, I can't believe it, but also because of my involvement with Renaissance Entrepreneurship Center in San Francisco, I've been coaching small business owners for many, many, many years. And I'd say probably we could talk about thousands because it really has been a long time. I left San Francisco in 2003. I live in New Mexico now. And I was really blessed to get involved with Small Business Development Center in the Santa Fe Community College. If you're not aware of Small Business Development Centers, they're all over the place. Every state has them. Every community has them. You could find them inside community colleges and in some states in the four-year college. Just look it up. Look it up. Because that I can't say enough about education and the support you need to do a small business. We all know it's really hard to do it. So what I brought you today, as I say, I'm going to give you some tips. They're not tricks. Somebody said, oh, tips and tricks. No, it's not tricks. It's tips and strategies to help you. And I'm coming from my own experience, which is vast with my own business, but also all the people I've coached over time. Jason, should I just go ahead and get into it now?
Well, I do want to mention one thing before you do that, that you do have experience with your small business because we talked off the air. Your husband and you both own small businesses. So it's not just she's giving you the run of the mill. She actually has experience in what she's doing. She's not just coaching from a book. She's coaching from real life experiences.
It's really true. And I will mention, I met my husband at a board meeting of the Small Business Development Center for New Mexico. He's been on that board for 30 years. When my first meeting, he'd already been on it 30 years. He's been known as a business leader in New Mexico, my husband, Phil Archuleta. And his company is P&M Signs. It's a manufacturing company with, oh my God, Smokey Bear, you know, the fire danger signs. I could go on about what he produces, but he's got a thriving business. I'm a consultant, as you've heard. I do a little bit of recruiting now and coaching and training. Anything else, Jason, or should I just start telling them my experience of how I can hopefully be of help to them?
Yeah. Why don't you go on with that and we could talk about it as you go on.
That sounds good. Thank you. Don't be shy about interrupting. All right. So what have I found out over all these years of having a business and coaching business owners? First of all, we need each other. I came from corporate. I came from financial services industry. So when I went to do this, and why did I do it? Let me even tell you that. I was so sick and tired of having other people above me take my ideas and run with them. Not only was I tired of that, I was tired of the money I was making. I could see the potential if I could do this on my own. I was also tired about not having enough time off to travel and do things because it was minimal in the jobs that I held. And even when I was off, I had to keep an eye on the job that I had just because. And so when I started my business, I said, these are the things. I'm going to create things that I'll take credit for. I am going to make unlimited money. I had a vision of how that could work. And then I also said, I'm going to be able to have some freedom. And I will tell you, a lot of small business owners will tell you they couldn't get to the point of freedom. You set your goals. I mean, this is the powerful thing about having a small business. You say what success looks like. And so for me, success included having a month in Europe every 6 months. I mean, I was doing so many things that I had only fantasized about, but I set myself up in a way that I could do that. And how did I even do that? It was because of the network I created of other small business owners. I had a couple of women that I could make sure they were overseeing my business while I was out of town. That's what I needed. And they would jump in, help my clients, but not steal my clients. We had this wonderful, loyal relationship. Anybody I worked with, we took care of each other. So that's my number one thing to tell you. You can't do this by yourself. Get a network around you. And then secondly, the education that you need. Jason knows I have a master's degree. My bachelor's is from Penn State in communications. My master's is more of an alternative from Naropa, but I've done a master's thesis. I've done all that, but nothing at all related to small business. And that's why when I heard about the Renaissance program in the Bay Area, and if you're listening from the Bay Area, look them up. I raised my hand and went in and couldn't believe what I didn't know. How to do a business plan, marketing, all the things that you really need to understand. Plus, as I've already told you, we need each other. I suddenly was plugged in to a network of people of like mind that wanted to do a business. And again, I came from corporate. People thought I was crazy. Why would you leave that job? Because I'm an entrepreneur in my soul. So find a group around you to help support you. That's number one, and also the education you might get from that group. The second thing I want to bring up, because here's the thing, you guys. I know one of the reasons you're doing this is you want to get out from under the boss, like I did. I didn't want a manager anymore. And so you want to be freer. You want to be free. But here's the problem. Freedom can absolutely be so free, it will do you in. I have a phrase for all my small business coaching clients. It's called structure is freedom. What the heck am I talking about? What I'm talking about is if you want to work 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock in the morning, they're your peak performance hours. You fantasize to be able to work and live like that. That's fine. But you also have to have hours that your clients can reach you, and they need to know when that is. And so work in the middle of the night, but you need to have office hours or ways for your clients to feel safe and good about you, that you're reliable and responsive and all that. I have seen so many people, I really have you guys do themselves in because of too much freedom. You put the structure around you. You don't have a manager anymore. So please don't fail because you don't have your structure in place. I know it sounds crazy to talk about structure as freedom, but I had to learn that. In the beginning, I was so free. I was vacuuming when a proposal was due. I lived this stuff. And I really need you to know, especially now with the internet, social media, it's so easy to get taken off track. You need to put some time constraints around you to make sure you are successful. Have you seen that, Jason, with people you run into with small business that they get so free they can't get their work done?
Oh yeah, I know a few people like that actually, who they let their personal lives, girlfriends, wives, stuff like that, even their hobbies get in the way and they don't accomplish the work. If you want to own or run a small business, then you have to put the work in. Those people that around you have to realize you maybe own your own business, but that doesn't mean you work 2 hours a day. People that like Roseanne, she can tell you right now that you might do an hour in one day, But there's some days you're going to be doing 12, 14 hours. It's not a structured thing in that way. But when people own their own business, you know, you can't let your personal life overrun your business.
I love that you brought that up, because one of the problems I had during the first year was my friends in corporate thought I was lounging in some way. And so they would call me just to chit chat in the middle of a time when I needed to get actual work done, proposals done and such, or they wanted to have long, let's have a couple glasses of wine lunches all the time. No, but in the beginning, I didn't understand that that was really not going to make me successful. So it was a process of A, getting them used to the idea. This was real. I was not lounging, and they had to respect that I was building a business. And a lot of people in those early days, a lot of my corporate friends fell off. They did. They didn't understand what the heck I was doing. But what did I do? As I already told you, I got a network of entrepreneurs around me that did understand what I was doing and respected it. One of the things under structure is freedom. I had always wanted to go to the gym in the middle of the day. When I saw people do that, the higher up executives where I worked, I thought, or golf or whatever they did in the middle of the day, I just thought it was so, you know, wonderful to see you could do that, but I couldn't do it at the level I was working at. One of the things I implemented almost right away was at 1:30, gym. 3 o'clock, I'm back. I'm working another 3-4 hours, depending on what I was working on. But I took that time in the middle of the day. It always felt like I was playing hooky. I always got so much pleasure from taking off in the middle of the day. When I'm talking about structure as freedom, and you create your own success plan, that's what I'm talking about. You follow with this?
And something I want to really touch on, you talk about the group around you. That means that people that support you, not just family and friends, because your family and friends don't support you, then don't have them around you really, because they could bring you down. Put the people around you and have the structure around you of the positivity, and don't hang around with the naysayers, even if they're family, because they're going to be against you, kind of, because they're not even used to running their own business. So they're going to be like, you know, let's bring you down, kind of.
My parents didn't want me to do this, Jason. No, because they knew what my salary was. And they were like, what are you doing? And actually, I want to talk about money for a second, if I may. One of the things I saw, especially with people leaving Silicon Valley to try to do their own business, when I was over in San Francisco, they would go and get, you know, large loans to get a nice office. I mean, this is pre-COVID, okay? Go back with me. And really overextend themselves. I saw that over and over again, and I saw many of them do themselves in because the financial pressure. You can't beat your business into creation. I see it as you nurture your business into creation. So that's a good thing for you to think of it that way. Develop it in a loving, supportive way, not hammering it because you're in financial problems. So I will tell you something that you may or may not think this is interesting, but everyone told me it's best to have 6 months of savings to cover your expenses before you pull the trigger to leave your job. I didn't listen. I didn't do that. So what became of me? I'll tell you exactly what became of me. I was in San Francisco, not cheap. I started doing temporary work, you know, so contract work to supplement what I was doing with my business. So if you go back with me to 89, 90, 91, I did it for a few years because I really didn't have the savings appropriately. So what I would be doing are things that didn't pay well because I didn't have any high secretarial skills or anything. I didn't do word processing, none of that stuff. I could be your receptionist. That paid $7.50 an hour back then, $7.50. I could, back then before the internet, Jason already said I started before the internet, I could stuff envelopes when there was a marketing campaign. I could do it really fast. Anybody who invited me for any of these temp jobs always invited me back. I kept having a regular stream of places that invited me because Let me tell you, you're making 750 an hour. 8 was probably the highest. That could be very humiliating and very humbling, especially given the salary I had had. But here's the thing. I could be at your office, your receptionist, 750 an hour back then, but tomorrow I could be at my client's billing 250 an hour. And that's the truth. I had 3, 4 years where I had a range of hourly rate that was really like that. And a lot of people said, how could you stand it? I could stand it because I knew where I was heading and I hadn't saved the proper amount of money. And this is the price you paid. And if I did temp work that week, I could go party that weekend. That's what I'm telling you, waiting for an invoice to be paid. So be careful about the money, you guys. Do not overextend yourself. Be loving with the business, supportive of the business. It will, you do the right things, it will grow and develop. And by it took, 5 years. I wish it wasn't true. It took about 5 years till it took off. But when it took off, I started earning exponentially more than I had earned in corporate. But I had to pay my dues. I don't know what you want to call it, but I had to put that time in initially. Anything about
One
that, Jason?
thing that I do want to say, and that you got a good point on that, because what I'm against, I'm not sure if you're against it, but I'm against taking out a loan for a business. Because if you're going to open up a business, I'm the type of person where, look, you could take out $100,000 to $150,000 loan on this business. That's one thing if you're going to do it with like a franchise or something like that. But if you're going to open your own business, you're taking a loan out on a business that might fail. So, and then now you're on the hook for whatever that loan is that you put into the business. And I think it's better to start out. You might have a suggestion on this, but I think it's better to start out small, make your money, because then you're not a slave to the lender. You don't have to worry about paying that money back, even if you have to start small and take a few years to make whatever money, 150,000, to get that business going. But it's kind of, I guess, in my eyes, I don't want to say stupid, but it's regretful for people that open the business and now they have to take that, pay that loan back on a business that failed.
It's absolutely true. And a lot of people I've coached didn't take the money from the bank. They took the loan from family and friends. And then they had to face family and friends when they couldn't pay it back. So, you do you. I love that phrase. You do you. I'm just giving you my experience. And I really am proud of the way I did it in these increment ways. And speaking of that too, not taking an office, working in training and coaching, particularly, people had fine offices and they spent a lot of money on marketing. My marketing approach was they used to call it guerrilla marketing. And listen, this is a good tip for all of you. We live in a society wherever you go, people are going to ask you what you do. So I started this campaign. Anybody invite me to anything, from weddings to cocktail parties, and I am outgoing. So this may not be appropriate for all of your listeners, but I can do this. Go to a wedding, go to a funeral, go to wherever. People say, "What do you do?" And put on your, you have no business coming with less than your A game wherever you're going because you're representing you and your business. So I would say what I did. I got so many clients, people were referring me and they'd never seen my work, but they were doing it based on how I presented myself. And I'm very proud of that because it really did build because then you get some good clients and then you can point to them. By the time I left San Francisco, I had everybody from Stanford to Citibank. I had Sharper Image for a long time. They're not in business anymore, but I had great client there, Visa Corporation. I was doing all that. And most of it was this way. Oh, here's Roseanne. Meet Roseanne. She's a trainer and a coach kind of thing. So I do want to say that about saving money by just getting yourself out there. Again, we call it guerrilla marketing. Okay, so that's the thing about money. The last thing I want to talk about to help you not make mistakes. Oh, go ahead, please, Jason.
One of the things I would do want to say about what you just said is that somebody asked you, What do you do? The worst thing to do is say, I'm trying to do this. Don't say that. Even if you're starting a business and you own a coffee shop, don't say, well, I'm trying to open a coffee shop. Say, I own this business, or I am doing this. Because once you hit that trying word, the word that says I'm almost there, it kind of deflates everything. Say, I am doing this, because the more positivity you add, it actually adds a set of confidence in your mind and whoever you're talking to. Because whoever you're talking to could be like, he's just starting, and that's a major lift of confidence for both of you.
Well, and true. And I never really, it didn't come out most of the time on how long I've been doing it. Because I was doing this in my first year talking like this. I'll never forget. I was at a wedding and these two guys were there. They were a couple at my table and we were talking about what do we do? What do we do? Because this is normal chatter in the United States. So anyway, I told them what I did and they said, they work for a law firm. And they said, you know, our law firm really needs a trainer and facilitator. They're having some real difficult times. But let me tell you something. What would you charge? And I said, I don't know, maybe like $100 an hour to do whatever. And they said, you can't. I love this. Complete strangers. You can't charge that. They won't think you're real. You have to charge at least $225, which at the beginning, you know, you bring up the point, you're not quite real yet. At the beginning, throwing these larger numbers out was hard for me, believe it or not, but it was. And these guys coached me. They said, just say $250 and shut your mouth. Say $250. They don't care. They're lawyers. They're billing $500 an hour, you know. So I'll never forget the day I went in, and it was a high rise overlooking the San Francisco Bay, a meeting with the director of the law firm. And so they, the lady said, so what would you charge? And I said, well, it would be $250 an hour. And then we'd figure out what the scope of work would be. And then I shut up. She didn't bat an eyelash. I would never have said $250 an hour. So anyway, just food for thought.
That goes with anything too, because if you're making a craft, if you are doing a service, anything like that, you can't look at people right now. If you're in the same boat where you're barely scraping by and you want to go make something of yourself, sometimes the higher premium gets the higher customer, and those people are not worried about paying that money because they know they're getting a premium product. It's the same with going to the store. You can go to Walmart and get a sweatshirt, but you can also go and get a higher quality at Supreme or something like that. Pay the extra price. There's people out there who are willing, you know, pay the extra is what they're willing to do. So charge the extra and get rid of the lower end customers.
Well, you heard those gentlemen. They said if you charged $150, they wouldn't think you were real. Mm-hmm. So that was really a good lesson during a wedding. All right, the last thing I wanted to bring up today is what happens to a lot of us when we first start out. We have so many different ideas of what we want to do with the business. And I had a coach early on that said, Roseanne, because even doing recruiting, training, and coaching, my coach said, no, you don't. Where is your highest level of expertise? And at the time, it was recruiting. And they said, you start as a recruiter. You're going to be marketing yourself into human resources, which would then hire trainers and coaches. So you do your recruiting really well. And then over time, start presenting the idea of training and then coaching. And was that really good wisdom, you guys? I'm telling you right now, pick something, one or two things you do really well. You can add other products and services later, but don't overextend yourself. We call it optional thinking. And what it looks like is, well, if I can do this, I can do this, I can do this, I can do this. And you end up not completing and doing any of them well. So that's my word of wisdom on that topic, Jason.
And there's one thing I want to do. I read a book. I can't remember the book now, the name of it, but it was one of the things they use is KISS, K-I-S-S.
Keep it simple, stupid.
Yep, yep. So you know, keep it simple, stupid.
Yep.
Don't elaborate too much. Break it down to the lowest, simplest terms. If you're going to go and do training, do training. Don't try to branch off, do training, do recruiting, do the coaching. As she's saying, just go and do the simplest things. And that means make a bed. When you make a bed, you don't have to make it look extravagant and perfect right off the bat. Just, you know, you don't have to tuck it in. Just straighten everything out. Do that first till you get the hang of it. Then you can start tucking things in. Then you can start making the hospital corners. But at least get the main thing done first.
So should I talk about how they can contact me if anyone would like to talk more about what they're up to?
Well, before we do that, there's one thing I do want to talk about, and because I think it would be awesome, and give him a little shout out to your husband. Because he, as you told me off the air on last time we talked, that even your husband started small.
Yes.
With his sign shop. He started. So can you give a little shout out to your husband and tell people how he went from small to what he's doing now, so people can see what
Jason, it's the American dream. What my husband Phil Archuleta had with his brother-in-law in a town called Ojo Caliente. People sometimes know it because there's a popular spa up there. What they had was a little adobe house, and they were making wooden games, toys for Head Start. They had a contract for that. And they were also carving. My husband is a magnificent carver, and they were making Spanish colonial furniture. That's what they were doing. Small, small potatoes. He was like 22 years old. And out of nowhere, a Forest Service person knocked on their door because they saw wood. And what had happened was there was a revolutionary fellow going through New Mexico trying to rile up people because of our land grant issue. And so there were not forest fires, but they were tearing down Forest Service signs and making fires out of the signs. They were burning government property. So the Forest Service gentleman said to Phil and his brother-in-law, could you make some of these way-showing signs for the forest? You know, when you go hiking, those wooden signs. And their artisans, not only could they make them, they could make them really well. So I guess the first time he gave them a request for 10, the next thing he comes back, he gives them 100. Next thing you know, they have a contract with all, they thought it was just the region that they were getting was a couple of, even that would have been big, a couple of forests in New Mexico. It was all of Arizona and all of New Mexico. And suddenly they had orders coming in from the Forest Service like you cannot believe. And with no education in this, it was not easy, but he did it. They did it. And he's, like I say, he's still standing all these years later.
You know, that's one thing that I really want to touch on, because somebody can go from a little garage or just making things in their living room or bedroom, and the right person finds you. It's just that one chance. It's all somebody has to do is find you, and you can go from making a couple $100 to making thousands of dollars. It's just, but you know what? You have to start somewhere, and you cannot just say, I'm going to do this. Get off your butt and get a move on and make something. Make one thing. Even if it's just an idea, get it out there. Somebody's going to want it. Fix a problem. Somebody's going to want it. You know, somebody has a problem, fix it, and then, you know, sell it on that. People out there walking are getting rained on. Somebody said, oh, let's make an umbrella so people stop getting wet. It's things like that. You know, find a problem, fix it. People out there will be willing to pay for that.
You've got to do whatever it is very well. So it's opportunity, which is what happened with the Forest Service man knocking on his door, and really artisans. And then they kept their service agreements, all that stuff, Jason. So that's true. If anybody wants to read Phil's story, we did do his memoir. We write books, by the way. If you go to www.travelingnewmexico.com, you'll see our books. You could also buy them from Amazon. We have no attitude about that. You can go there. But his memoir is called By the Grace of God, Stories from the American Dream. They are stories from the American Dream. And it's Phil Archuleta with two T's. And I'm on the book too, because we wrote it together. Roseanne Roberts Archuleta, again with two T's, Archuleta.
And
And then
that's
it,
what, and
go
that's
ahead.
what this, that's what this world, this country is built on, is the American dream. So I want to ask you, Roseanne, besides traveling to New Mexico and all, all the things that you did, if people want to know more about you, how do they find you?
Okay.
And how do they get in contact with you? Are you on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter?
I'm on Facebook specifically, and it's Roseanne and LinkedIn. Roseanne is spelled differently. It's Roseanne. Okay. Roseanne Roberts Archuleta with two T's. You can also find me as an author on Amazon. You'll see that. But it's also LinkedIn. And then my website for this coaching, the small business coaching and other kind of skills coaching, is www.roberts. I did this before I met Phil. Roberts resources, resources.org. It's dot org. So if you go to www.robertsresources.org, you will see my website. So there we have it. And if you want to email me, it would be Roseanne at robertsresources.org.
Okay, and just so you people out there know, do you do just the United States or do you do Canada and other places like that, international?
I can work internationally now that we are doing Zoom. It's so interesting because in the 90s, I already told you one of my goals with my business was to be freer to travel. I had clients on a regular basis in England, and I'd fly over there a month at a time. And most of those were small businesses. Back in the 90s, so many people in England, it's getting better over there, but it really was a class system. You can't do more than the person above you, and it's in your hierarchy. So I really worked with people. We did a lot of training group things. And by the way, you can come in with a friend. We can do coaching more than one person to bring the rates down. I mean, email me so we can set up a time to talk about this. I would like to help small business owners, but I did do a lot of work in England. I will tell you that. And I can do anywhere because we've got Zoom now. I was just talking to an old friend who's on a boat in the Caribbean just last week. We can do this. So, yeah, international, we can certainly do it.
All right, again, this was Roseanne Roberts Archuleta, and I would like to thank her for her time on this second podcast that we did.
Jason, I appreciate you. Thank you for the opportunity.
No, thank you.
I'm always looking for likes, shares, and reviews. Please give it a share and a review. 5 stars really does help. Thanks for tuning in. Yes, refill both of our coffees. See you next week where we can listen once again. Please follow us on Saturday Java with Jason on Facebook and Instagram. And please follow me on Facebook at Jason Coffee Man.